الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم إلى آخر الآية. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, brothers, young ones in Islam and those listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us just a few days ago. We graduated from the month of Ramadan. And in reality, the month of Ramadan was a training period. And at the end of that training period, we all experienced the day of Eid. And in one hadith Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word used in Arabic is baha bihim malaikatu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, outwardly, He is happy, He's proud, He's telling the angels that my servants have made so much of ibadah, they have done so many good deeds, they have fulfilled all of the requirements of the month of Ramadan, the fasting, standing in qiyam. Then he asked them, what is the reward for people that have done hard work? So you went through a training period, you worked hard, you passed the exams. So what happens then? You graduate, you qualify, you get the qualification to now practice, to put what you have learned into practice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a celebration on the day of Eid. And in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what he asked the angels, that what is the reward of the person who has completed his work, that laborer who has done his job and he's done it properly. So the angels answer and they say that his reward is that he must be given full, he must be paid in full. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you be witness that all of these servants of mine, not only have they been given the reward, but if there were any evils, any sins that they had committed, then baddaltu sayyi'atihim hasanat. I've also converted all of their evil deeds into good deeds. So this was the graduation that has taken place a few days ago. But then does it end there? Does it end there? Each and every one of us in the worldly life, when we look around, we all aspire to be the best. We aspire when we see someone that has reached great respect, great status, great recognition. Then we all have this, that we should also be able to achieve some level of success. And there's nothing wrong with it, provided it is done within the confines of the Sharia. So how do we achieve this same success that we want? This, let's call it, for as far as the dunya goes, the VIP status. We all recognize it as far as dunya goes. How do we now progress in terms of our spiritual lives, in terms of our real life, in terms of the real objective? Because the Quran Sharif says again and again, various places, it highlights us to the importance of the akhirat over the dunya. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. We want to give preference to the dunya, the lowly life, but it is the akhirat that is better and everlasting. So how do we achieve that? And it is very interesting to note, when we analyze the writings of the ulama, when we study the Quran and Hadith, when we study what the scholars of the past have written, it reminds me of a very, very important analogy that is drawn by none other than Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. And it has been mentioned in a kitab which he calls The Alchemy of Happiness. That means, how do we achieve, how do we make our lives, alchemy was a science, it was thought to be a science in those days, that where ordinary sand could be converted into gold. So these bodies of ours that are of sand, how can these ordinary bodies of sand be converted to the equivalent of gold in value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereby achieve true happiness? Because it is something that is eluding most of us. So the one important point which he makes, and there's no time to go into the details of all of the issues, but the one point that he makes is the first step to achieving happiness is for an individual to understand himself. To understand who you are and what you are. For each and every one of us to understand who we are. And that to be able to appreciate this point, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the human being is made, there are two parts. There is the body and there's the soul. Unfortunately, all of the focus, all of the attention goes onto the body. As far as the nutrition goes, as far as the exercise, even that too we start lacking on nowadays. But if there is any attention, all of it is given to the body. And an individual can only be truly happy when there is a balance, when there is care, there is nutrition, there is health, there is exercise, there is fitness of both the body and the soul. And the example he gives is like a person who is going on a journey. Because we are also all on a journey. We are all on a journey. And the journey starts when we are born and it ends when we leave this world. Because مَمْ مَاتَ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ, the person who has passed away, his qiyamah has started. He's in the grave. His meter of good deeds is now turned off. That's it. Now he'll present himself. Then he shouldn't be in that state that he's going to ask on the day of qiyamah that يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ بِحَيَاتِي. Oh, how I wish I had some more time. I would have sent something forward for the real life. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he gives the example that that person is going on a journey and he's got a conveyance and himself. So that we'll ask ourselves the question, who is more important? If we have to analyze, who's more important? Is it the conveyance or is it the person? Well, the answer will be they are to an extent equally important, but perhaps most important is the person. The person that is sitting on the conveyance. Because if the person is lost, there's no replacement. There's no point of the journey. If the conveyance is lost, then perhaps there could be some kind of amends that are made. But nevertheless, in this world, the example that he has given, that we, the attention, the time, the effort that we all spend, it's all on the conveyance, on the body. On that body that we are worried about beautifying it, making sure that it is strong, making sure that it is healthy. And there's nothing wrong in doing that. It is absolutely permissible within the confines of Sharia to do that. But the problem is that we prioritize that to the extent that we totally neglect the soul. The food of the soul, the nutrition of the soul, the exercise of the soul. So, whilst we have graduated from the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each and every one of us the opportunity, and it is Fazl and His grace that we were able to be part and parcel of Ramadan, and may He make it such that for years to come, we continue to experience the blessings of the month of Ramadan and maximize. But going forward, we need to be thinking of this balance. This balance between the nutrition and the attention that is paid to our bodies and the soul. And it is with this in mind that the other day when standing in Salah, one of the Imams recited some verses of the Quran Sharif. And often we hear those same verses, we all hear them. But something struck me that in reality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a prescription, a very, very robust, a very comprehensive prescription for ensuring that our souls also remain healthy. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these same verses, the verses that I recited in the khutbah, He recognizes the fragile nature of human beings. That we are very, very fragile people. We are very weak. So the ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Suratul Ma'arij, which is in the 29th juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Man is by nature, it's difficult to find one word that encompasses the Arabic meaning. But perhaps could say, man is someone who lacks courage, who is an anxious being, who is very, very hasty. He is not a person who is controlled, or an individual that is controlled and behaves in a, or reacts in an appropriate manner in a typical sense. So what do we mean by this? And when we are listening to this, remember this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about our own natures. So if we continue with the verse of the Quran, the Mufassirin say that Al-Quran yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da. The Quran itself explains the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When some difficulty afflicts him, some harm comes upon him, some trial and tribulation comes, then he is frantic. He is totally upset. He is extremely upset. He can't control himself. He can't control that impulsive reaction, that whatever that may be. Whether it may be how something that has happened according to his, that is not in accordance with his likes, or something happened in business, or something happened in the family, or someone spoke to him in a certain way. He cannot resist the urge and the impulse to act in accordance to directly what he is feeling. This is mankind. This is us. When some difficulty comes upon us. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when good comes upon him, when the opposite happens, yes, he's happy, but that's not all. And that's not the problem. There's nothing wrong in being happy. And it's good to be happy. And we should strive to be happy ourselves and make others around us happy. But the issue is, Quran Sharif says that إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. He becomes extremely, perhaps the right word is mean to others. When he is blessed with something which he fails to understand, that is purely from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fails to recognize that. And as a result, he acts in a very mean way to others around him. This is the nature of man. There are some exclusions. There are 9 exclusions which the Quran Sharif speaks about. 9 categories of people that will be excluded from this. And this is the focus and this is the message that I want to try and summarize in today's discussion. That who are those people who will be precluded, who will be saved from the dictates or from that conveyance taking control of them. It is like a person jumps onto an untrained horse, a wild horse, and it starts throwing him all over. If we allow our impulses to behave like that with us, then we will be like that horse, that this person can't control it. That the nafs will take control of it and it will do whatever we want. Then we think about it afterwards and we say, but what happened to me? How could I have done such a thing? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that for temptation will lead you to sin and will make you cry. For temptation will lead you to sin and will make you cry. Most people are not inherent from head to toe evil. But there are these periods of time that come over us where we'll be faced. We have the ability to make a decision on how we react to a good situation or a situation where it requires that we exercise sabr. Before we go into what are the exceptions, at a very basic level, let me share one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which every time an individual reflects over it, it should make our hair stand on end. Because each and every one of us are in that position. We are in that position and in those circumstances that demand that we exercise on a continuous basis. Every day we practice 2 things, shukr and sabr. Shukr for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and sabr when there might be some small trial and tribulation that comes upon us. Now some of us might say, but what is there? So when we listen to this hadith, Hazrat Ubaidullah ibn Mihsan al-Khitmi al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أصبح منكم آمنا في سربه معافا في جسده عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. That person who wakes in the morning, آمنا في سربه, he's safe and sound, in his locality, in his community. Mu'afan fi jasadi. As far as his body goes, he hasn't been afflicted with any kind of calamity as far as his health goes. So broadly, his health is fine. Number three, indahu qutu yawmi. He has enough food to keep his back straight. None of us have truly experienced hunger. Even of those of us that have less financial resources. But I doubt that we have experienced that hunger that causes an individual's back to bend. It is that amount of food that will keep a person alive. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you have that much, if you have these three things, فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَدَافِيرِيَا, then you have the entire world full of blessings, the equivalent of the world full of blessings. So we need to recognize that as a start. Nevertheless, the Quran Sharif then goes on and says that إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. So who are those people who will have the stamina, the strength to react, to react in an appropriate manner to the different challenges that face an individual, both the challenges of goodness and the challenges of trials and tribulation. Because not everything that outwardly looks good is necessarily devoid of being a challenge. It is a challenge. The Quran Sharif says in another ayat that فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Allah Ta'ala says about insan that when we test him, the real word, the word used in Arabic is ibtala. In other words, when we put him through trial and tribulation, how? فَأَكْرَمَهُ, by giving him plenty. وَنَعَمَ, and showering him with blessings. Then he's very happy, but he doesn't realize that there's implicit, there's a test in here. How do I use these bounties and blessings in helping others around me? Nevertheless, time is limited. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. To get that stamina, to get that spiritual stamina, to get the stamina for the soul, the first thing that is required is to have salah in our lives. This salah is being emphasized so much. Last week, Hazrat Maulana Katani Sahib was here. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he quoted the incident towards the end of his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Your salah. Focus on salah. Various ayat of the Quran Sharif. So now that we are out of the month of Ramadan, it should be a very, very important, a very integral and fundamental part of our lives. It should not just be taken for granted that a salah is going by and it goes by without us batting an eyelid. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Quran Sharif says that those people that are constant in the performance of their salah, they will have that spiritual stamina to act in an appropriate manner to the challenges that they are going to face in this world. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. And then those people whom in their wealth, there is a known portion for who? لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. There is a known portion to give away to others. In other words, it is not day and night, it is a pursuit for the accumulation of the things of this dunya, which a person will not be able to even take forth. On one occasion, a person came and gave something to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was some food. And then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she gave some of that food away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha after a while, that what is left of the food? So she said, Ma baqiya illa katifuha. Only the shoulder remains. Only the shoulder. It must have been some meat, some portions of meat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, baqiya kulluha illa katifa. All of it remains except the shoulder. In other words, as far as the akhirat goes, everything is stored for you there except what you have given away in this world. So some might say, some mufassirin have said, yes, this might refer to the zakat. Unfortunately, we are falling short even when it comes to our zakat. But the preferred view of this ayat, it refers to a constant amount which a person keeps on the side, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, for recognizing that others also have a right. Others also have a right to be cared for with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So, so that is the first thing, that salah, and secondly, to have a portion in our wealth which is dedicated to assisting of others. We don't have to go into the kind of lives that we are leading, the opulence that is there, the unnecessary wastefulness, expenditure that exists in our lives. Nevertheless, the third point that is mentioned here, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those who testify. And the word used in Arabic is tasdeeq. صَدَّقَ يُصَدِّقُ, those who confirm the veracity, who confirm the truthfulness of the day of judgment. How do we confirm the truthfulness of the day of judgment? Someone will say, each and every one of us will say that, but we agree with it, we accept it, we testify with our tongues and we accept with our hearts. So, Allama Alusi Sayyid Mahmood Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh, the author of Ruhul Ma'ani, he says that it is not sufficient just here that we mean testifying by means of the tongue. Because all believers are equal in that. All believers are equal in that. We must testify with the limbs of our body. Our actions need to show that we believe that there is going to be a last day. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those that accept and confirm through their actions that there is going to be a last day. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Again and again, various ayat of the Quran tell us that for those people who practically show in their lives that they believe that one day they are going to be accountable, it is not that you can do something and get away with it. Can do something and act in a way and we're going to get away with it. If we recognize that and we act in that, in accordance with that, then indeed we are on that way, on that road to being from the, amongst that club of people, that group of people who will be the VIPs. The time has expired, but at the end of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, there are various other categories, but Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ, those are the ones. Just as we would look up to people and say, look at those people, what they've achieved. So Allah Ta'ala says that those are the ones who will be honored with what fi jannat, in paradise. And those are the ones who truly, who would have engaged in that type of, and been able to achieve that level of stamina in their souls that will allow them to respond properly to the challenges of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. May he remove the difficulties, the calamities facing the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.